T-minus 11 to episode 1000. It's Thursday, October 23rd, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 989, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a WordPress builder site, a domain name, and a Outlook email address for just $1 a month for 12 months, or pick up a domain name for just $1.49. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, a little bit late start to the show tonight. Combination of things, traffic, dinner, life. You know what comes next. Here we go.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you all to the show. Thanks for being here. I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of stuff to share. And kind of crazy. It's been one of those evenings where just everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And, you know, it's just one of those things you have to deal with from time to time. But I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. And, of course, thanks for staying subscribed. We want to, of course, encourage, if you're brand new to the show, we want to encourage you to go over to geeknewscentral.com. And check out all the great content on the website. See if I can bring that up for you. And really, once you get over on the website, getting subscribed to the show is a piece of cake. Matter of fact, we're testing PowerPress version 6 on the website tonight. And a new subscribe sidebar. So you're going to basically see some new icons basically in the second column of the website. It basically says on iTunes, via RSS, and then more subscription options. If you click on the more subscription options, it's going to take you to a landing page that'll have really everything there that will allow you to get subscribed to the show. And you can even play some of the content as well. So all that information is definitely on the main website at geeknewscentral.com. So a little experimentation going on. And so we hope that you'll get subscribed to the podcast and stay subscribed. Now, there's a newsletter link on the website as well, and click on that, and that's going to take you to the newsletter page. And what I do after every show is I send out basically an email with all the links to the show. Basically, everything you see in the blog post will end up an email basically in your inbox. So we want you to make sure you get subscribed to the newsletter. That way, basically, number one, you remember that there's a new show by the email that you get. Number two, if you're subscribed with your mobile device, you're going to get it prompted to you automatically that it's ready. Really, that's the best way. And three, again, you don't want to miss a single episode here. All right, lots to share tonight. Lots of tech to get through. And if you have comments on tonight's show, you can send via Twitter at Geek News. Or you can email me directly, geeknews@gmail.com. That is the place to go, or the thing to do if you have comments about the podcast today. And we want you to really, you know, provide feedback at any given moment. Of course, you can follow this show on Facebook, Google Plus. We're even on a bunch of devices like the Roku, Samsung TV, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Boxy. So definitely pick us up on your. Basically kicking back on your lazy boy and on your Roku on the Tech Podcast channel. I want to thank our sponsors tonight. Of course, our sponsors, GoDaddy is with us here week after week, month after month, bringing you great deals. And you can find all my great deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And really what we've got here, we've got deals for you right now. We can get 30% off on all new orders by using promo code GNC30. You get a .com for $1.49 by using promo code Geek149. You get a domain name, website, Builder, Microsoft Outlook email address, all for $1 per month for 12 months by using the promo code GNCGOT. And really, if you really want to just be quick about it, just come to the very top of the website and click on the banner, and that's going to basically load the one of the offers directly into the system, and you'll get access to it, boom, right away by being able to use the promo code. So again, all those great codes, GNC30, Geek149, GNCGOT, and of course some of the other 50% off codes as well. That 30% off deal, boy, you just really cannot beat that. That deal is really on all new products and services, and this is a great way to go to save cash when you're getting ready to pick up a new product and service. Hey, you know, one thing that we did here on, let's see, what night? This is Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday night. I was talking with my wife, and I said, hey, honey, there's a new top-level domain available that's .Okinawa. Of course, my wife is from Okinawa. And so I kind of had to explain to her, you know, because she's not the geek like I am, obviously. And I said, yes, you could have like dive.okinawa or a variety of different names. And I said, this might be something worthy of picking up a few domains that that you like. Now, let me show you, those of you that are watching. She started writing stuff down on a sheet of paper. And we went after towns first. Those were already got. Then we went after some tour sites. Those, some of them were not secured. And then we probably scored maybe a dozen really, really good ones. And actually, I thought I had dive.okinawa. I thought that that was going to be mine because it came up and said it was available. Later, did not go through, and I had questioned it, and basically the Whois record definitely showed that someone had picked that up 3 or 4 days before me, so I was just a little bit late on the draw. But we picked up a number of domains that I'm just going to immediately put up and make available for sale. So these new top-level domains, when you have a kind of like insider connection, when you have, you know, my wife is, I'm saying, what, you know, and I described the criteria and how we went through and picked the domains that we bought. Basically a business or a travel agency or a tourism industry, or as long as it wasn't copyrighted, we went in and we went after terms like that, and we did real well. So picked them all up on GoDaddy. $11.99. Those were domains were little more pricey, but I'm real happy with the ones that that we picked up. And if we sell one, we'll have basically paid for, you know, the $150 to $200 we spent in basically an investment over the next year in those domains. So just something we did on GoDaddy here the other day. All right, let me go ahead and move on here and get into some more technical type topics. On the last show, I had discussed with you guys the saga with the Mac Pro. And if you, those of you who are watching, if you look behind me, the Mac Pro is no longer back here sitting, not hooked up to anything. So let me tell you what happened. I had went through this thing two or three times, trying to, you know, resetting hard drives, logic boards, checking the memory. I really did everything I could, and I was still getting the CPU A, CPU B failure. And so I made an appointment with the Genius Bar very late in the afternoon, and had some other stuff going on, and rushed over there and, you know, humped this 50-pound, it's really, this old MacBook Pro. I really forgot how heavy this thing is. It's like a boat anchor. And carried it in from the parking lot, went into the Apple store, got there, got my appointment set up. And, you know, the guy was nice enough. He met me at the door, and he carried the MacBook the 25 feet or 30 feet to the back and put it up on the Genius Bar. And, you know, the guy's kind of talking to me, and I'm kind of telling him what's going on. And he puts the power cord in it, and, you know, he just gets it all set up and reaches around, hits the power cord button, and the thing booted. And I'm just sitting there like, my mouth, a fly could have flown in, because I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, what did you do? And he goes, well, what do you mean? I said, this thing is up until right now for the past 10 days, is CPU A, CPU B, is you know, failed. And he says, well, let's run the diagnostic. And I got to see him run the diagnostics in the store. When they hooked up to the network there, they hold down the app, option N, and it boots it into a diagnostic program that Apple has. Because I'm like, can I run that from home? He's like, no. And I was like, crap. And so he runs the diagnostic on it, and everything came back with a check mark green except for the hard drives. And he says, did you take the hard drives out of this thing? Because, you know, he had booted it into their system before. He didn't try to boot it normally. And I said, no, the drives are in it. So he popped the top or popped the side on it. And I did a couple of things and closed the door. And he says, let's see if this thing will start. And came out of the maintenance mode and, you know, da-da, up it come. And I was able to log in and, you know, everything was just like it hadn't failed. And I'm telling this guy, I'm like, okay, so what's the story here? You know, I did everything I could. So obviously something got, you know, bounced around or jiggled between the time that I left the house, got here and carried this thing in. I said, I'm confused. And he says, well, could be a hard drive. And I'm like, a hard drive's going to cause the logic board to give a CPU A, CPU B failure. And he said, yeah, just in certain incidences, you guys know what I'm saying. I'm tired. I'm sorry. And so I'm sitting, and first of all, I'm happy. And at the same time, I'm kind of irritated because I've just got, you know, almost look like an idiot for bringing this thing in. So I, you know, like, okay, cool. I'm out of here, you know, and lug this thing back to the car and get home. And sure enough, boots up. It's fine. It's running. And so, you know, I'm leery with what's going on with this thing because I ran it for a while and did a couple of things. I shut it down and then I tried to restart it. And lo and behold, on the second restart, right on the front of my screen, instead of giving me CPU A, CPB failure, I get this little folder icon. It's got a question mark flashing. And I'm like, okay, what is that? And I looked that up online. And sure enough, it's something to do with the hard drive boot image. And so, okay, let's try to get this thing a third time, booted up, booted fine. I'm now saying, okay, let's get the external drive. I plug that in. I have about 3.5-4 terabytes of stuff on the multi-drive RAID. Even though it was on Time Machine, it's just a lot easier. I said, I just pulled it into the external drive. And that took about 20 hours to transfer all that data. Because it's not a USB 3 drive, it's just a standard USB. Got that all moved off onto the external drive. I reformatted all the RAID drives. And really, what I'm at tonight is it's basically almost down to the point where I'm going to just do a restore. I'm going to, after I get done, if everything goes good tonight, and I get done processing the, you know, media from the show, I will go ahead and stick a new hard drive in it. And do just a baseline restore and see what happens. But here's one thing that really, frankly, pissed me off at the Apple Store. And I let the guy know I wasn't happy. He says, this is a 5-year-old machine. He says, you should replace this. And I really took deep offense to it. I'm like, listen, I said, do you know how much this machine cost? And, you know, granted, it's 5 years. But when I bought that machine, I upgraded everything. I got the best RAM. I got the best video card. I got the best processor. And you know how it is with Apple. You add stuff on, and next thing you know, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. And this thing's been a workhorse. It's been a machine that has definitely earned its keep. But, you know, as I've talked to you guys in previous shows, I want to get a couple more years out of this thing, right? And he's like, well, you know, you just put it up on eBay and sell it. And I'm like, you didn't hear me. You know, this thing is a workhorse. It's been fine. I want to get a couple more years use out of it. I was going to pay for a logic board repair or whatever. He says, well, that would have just, you know, it had been like $600. And I'm like, do you trade your car in when you have a flat tire? And, but he really irritated me, and quite frankly, I was insulted, but it is, you know, he wasn't guaranteed that what the situation was the hard drive. And he said it could be some interconnect. It could be some part, again, Logic Bard having an issue. So what's going to happen now is going to baby this thing and see how long it can last. The folks that have sent in donations for the Mac Pro Replacement Fund, I'm going to put those in a separate container in the accounting folder. And as people feel they want to help contribute to the hardware here, I will continue to put pennies and dimes and nickels in there and my spare change to work over the next, over a period of time here. We'll see what happens with this thing. I'm keep looking at it on bated breath thinking, is it going to flip over and die on me? But we'll see. Anyway, enough on that. At the same time, I got a replacement for my iPhone 5 battery while I was there. I was able to have them replace it. So I actually went a whole day today, without having to put my phone on a charger. And that's been the first time in a very long time. So that took about 45 minutes. It just, killed two birds with one stone. But other than that, pretty squared away here. I know I've been chatting for a while. We'll get into the content here in just a microsecond or two. But I did want to thank Ohana Todd. Actually, I think Todd is on his way to a warrior. We get one of our warriors here, but he did a one-time donation. I do want to thank Todd for that and a few other people that have come in and started contributing to the show as part of the GNC 1000. I want to thank Ohana David, a warrior Curtis, and Kahuna Michael. For definitely your ongoing support of the show here at Geek News Central. So again, if you want to become an insider, be part of our GNC 1000, go to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, one thing I do want to ask, and I'm just asking for a little feedback, and part of it is I have a little bit of an internal disagreement with Brian, our developer at Raw Voice. I am not 100% personally sold. And if you come over to geeknewscentral.com, you're going to see on the site subscribe to podcasts, and it's going to say on, and it's basically below what we've had on the site for a little bit, but it says on iTunes via RSS and more subscription options. I'm not super fond of the colors. And let me know what you think. I'd like to hear your guys' feedback on how it looks. And I'm going to move it up to the top and rearrange a couple of things. But let me know. I would definitely appreciate your feedback on that. Again, I'm not sold on the colors. And just have a little internal. And if you guys think it's good, maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But definitely drop me a line here. I would definitely appreciate it. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the stack of stuff that I have tonight for you. And again, get started late tonight. What happens when I start late? I get really pissy. And part of it is because I have this routine and it's a show routine. And when I'm late, it gnaws on me in a big, big way. Now, one thing I am good about this situation with the Mac Pro, I didn't have to turn my Mac into furniture. There is over on The Verge, they've got a link of people that basically it's using a couple of old Mac Pro chassis and they've got a bench in between them. So no, I'm very happy that I didn't have to turn my Mac Pro into a bench. But pretty nice little job here. It's a nice little modern art. I don't know how much they're charging for these things, but they can't be inexpensive based upon these chassis are, man, they're weigh a ton. So anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. Next thing I want to talk about, and just might as well get the Mac stuff out of the way here, is that a vintage Apple One sold at auction for $950,000. Now, this is a 38-year-old working Apple One personal computer. And again, it sold for $905,000. And this is amazing. Now, the actual selling price was $750,000, but there was a commission on top of that of $175,000, and then taxes. So that beat the record for another Apple One that sold in May of 2013 for $671,000. But they had done a pre-auction estimate of $300,000 to $500,000 of this. Now, this Apple One was hand-built by Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak in 76 and may have been one of the first 50, according to the auction site. But this is huge. So this is very, very, very cool. And of course, the first batch were sold by the Bite Shop of Mountain View, California in 1976. And they were originally sold for $666.66. And only 200 were produced overall. So that's pretty cool. And as few as 15, including the one sold Wednesday, are known to be in working condition. This one came with a keyboard, power supply, and a small wooden case, two vintage cassette tape desk, the storage system of its day, an old monitor, and various documents. So very, very, very cool. And congratulations to the guy that got a little bit of retirement money there. A Bay Area company. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this company, Electronics for Imaging? Well, no one else had heard of this company either. And but apparently this multi-million-dollar multinational public corporation based out of Fremont, California, basically just got caught by the United States Department of Labor red-handed in an investigation, which it found that about 8 employees, which were flown in from India to work, now listen to this, 120 hours a week, only for $1.21 per hour. This is what EFI said. Apparently, they thought it was okay to pay the employees the same wages they paid in India, in Indian rupees. Here's the unbelievable, crazy-sounding quotes. EFI gave NBC Bay Area affiliate the following quote. We unintentionally overlooked laws that require even foreign employees to be paid based on local U.S. standards. Now, here's the deal. This company did $200 million in revenue in its last financial quarter. The 8 employees are being paid $40,000 in owed wages. They were reportedly installing computer systems at the company's headquarters. Now, you want to know what their fine was by the Labor Department? Hold on to your hat. Only $3,500. That was their fine. So they thought they could get away with paying these folks $1.21 an hour, making them work 120 hours a week. And then, just because they got caught, said, oh, we didn't know, had to pay their wages of $40,000, and yet was only charged $3,500 as a fine. Something, my friends, is seriously wrong with that. To think that you have a $200 million company in revenue would violate, allegedly or admittedly, violate labor laws to that point and pay people that they would bring to this country $1.21 an hour? How did they eat? How did they eat? You know, they didn't even make enough in a 12-hour workday to probably pay for one lunch. I didn't think this was possible in this day and age. Now, I don't know what kind of business Electronics for Imaging does, but there is something seriously wrong here. And I don't know about you guys, but I just find this incredulous completely. So, wow. Are you guys surprised as I am? I really am. But I guess the way things, you know, that stuff still happens. It's amazing that it did. I'm dumbfounded, really. All right. let's switch gears here a little bit. iOS 8 has been jailbroken, but they're recommending people hold off for now. Why? The iOS 8 jailbreak was done by someone in the in Asia. They specifically think a Chinese group. So they're a little bit worried. They want to look over the code. They want to see what's going on here. But be aware that you probably don't want to jailbreak your iOS 8 version yet at this point. There's a great piece on the BBC talking about Silicon Valley's billion-dollar startup failures. And there's interviews of a bunch of venture capitalists. Benchmark Bill Gurley was part of it. Fred Wilson of Union Square, Mark Anderson. All these folks are saying that basically there is a winner-take-all type mentality going on in Silicon Valley at this time. And that companies like Uber, OpenTable are burning, I mean, really burning huge amounts of cash to build their businesses. Millions of dollars a month are being burned to try to be king of the hill and own a space. And they feel that at some point this is going to get ugly, and that there's going to be companies that are going to be winners, and well, there's going to be winners and losers, and that's it. So we will see where this leads, but we may be headed. And of course, they've been talking about this for a while, heading for another bubble, and we all know what happened during the last bubble, but. You know, with Snapchat and Uber attracting huge valuations of $10 billion to $17 billion respectively, folks are thinking these may be a little bit out of line with reality. But, we know that in 1999, when the dot-com crash wiped some $5 trillion of the stock market from tech firms, that the fallout was long-lasting. But it is a good write-up, and folks at BBC has done a good job here. And there are definitely going to be winners and losers in this next round. Hey, I wanted also to share with you guys something. When I got back from this latest trip, I did a waited for my United mileage update. You guys know I haven't been flying very much this year as compared to the last couple of years, but I'm at 49,070 miles. You know, I used to be at like 150, 160, 170,000 miles a year flying, but this year I'm at 49,070. So I was, kind of, I guess for better words, grumbling to my wife. I'm like, I don't think at this point, I may have one more trip, but I said, I don't think I've got any more trips this year. And I'm not going to make gold. And, you know, that's basically 50K is kind of like it's a middle-of-the-road qualification for flying on airlines. And it's not as, 100K, 1K is the best. The platinum at 75K is next, then 50. And then below that, you're just kind of an average flyer with the airline. So I said to her, I said, what do I do? Do I just fly over the Big Island and come back and, just to get, because I want to get the status. And I said, that's kind of like throwing money down the toilet too for no reason. We talked about maybe doing a little staycation or going someplace for Thanksgiving and, weighing the budget. It just didn't work. And, we're trying to be conscious consumers here because money doesn't grow on trees. And, she said, well, why don't you leave for CES early? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? She said, well, why don't you leave on the 31st of December? And I'm like, that's kind of an interesting concept. I'm like, you would let me go to Vegas on New Year's? And she goes, no, I didn't say that. I said, you fly in the evening, like 10 o'clock at night, on December 31st, she said, you get the credit for the miles. You arrive on the 1st while everyone's checking out and, dealing with their hangovers. And then you get an extra day to kind of rest and get ready to start the show. And I'm like, honey, you're a genius, because I really wasn't even, but I said, you really will let me go on, Yeah. And then she says, the tickets are going to be cheaper. And they are. They're like $250 cheaper that night. So maybe I'll be able to keep my status and get into Vegas a day early this year. So it's going to be kind of cool. But fellas, sometimes these little issues, our wives are just, you know, on top of things. They are, you know, it's, you know, I was, because I was thinking to myself, you know, I didn't really think of it because, you know, what wife's going to let their husband go to Vegas on New Year's? And really, she's not. I'm going to be in an airplane drinking champagne at 25,000 feet. But so anyway, so I'm going to probably call and make my reservations tomorrow or the next day. Yeah, so at least maybe I can keep my gold. Now, I called the airline and said, now, does the mileage count when you take off or when you land? And United said, because you're starting on this date to this date, it will be, you'll get credit for it. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. So anyway, kind of funny. And I get to still take three bags, which is good. That and I don't have to pay for three bags. I can check three bags on the way out and check three bags on the way home. Now, you think we've got it bad in taxes. Hungary is planning to tax internet usage. Public outrage is mounting Wednesday in Hungary against the government's plan to levy a hefty tax on internet use. They want to charge 62-cent tax on every gigabyte of data users have utilized. Think about that. They want to charge 62 cents on every gig. That, my friends, is an incredible amount of money. You think about it, you listen. Okay, it would cost any of you that are, and I don't know if I have to look, anyone that's in Hungary that listens or let's say watches this show would have to pay 62 cents an episode just to watch this show. And that's incredible. They're saying that there's going to probably be some sort of a cap on it. Definitely what a way to really kind of put the halt on any type of development. You know, and there's a lot of companies, there's a lot of programmers that are in Hungary. That'll kill that entire business overnight. And the Hungary internet service provider business is only 169 billion. I think that's, excuse me, let me look at this here. Oh, the 100 billion forints is, I guess, the currency, which is $414 million a year. That was what the tax would add on. But right now, Hungarian internet providers' combined revenue totaled 164 billion forints. So, you know, like $600 million was the total internet business. It would just kill it overnight. So that's just some sheer insanity there. We'll see if they come to their senses. Speaking of sheer insanity, the FBI has said that over 500 million financial records were stolen by hackers in the past year. 500 million. So you can just about be guaranteed that many of us have had our financial records stolen, maybe not once, twice, three, four, five, or maybe even 10 times. But the FBI says we're in a day when a person committed about 15,000 bank robberies sitting in their basement, said Robert Anderson, executive assistant director of the FBI's Criminal Response and Services Branch. That's an amazing amount. He says, you're going to be hacked. Joseph Damaris, assistant director, told business leaders at the conference, have a plan. And luckily, during our incident, our financial stuff is in a completely different, with a completely different vendor. We rely on them to protect our customers' financial data. So when we had our little incident here a week and a half ago, it was essentially the usernames and I guess for a better word, encrypted passwords. So it's true. It's just a never-ending battle right now to fight these folks. But 500 million financial records. Thank God we weren't dealing with any financial records. That's just was bad enough as it was. All right, T-Mobile is fighting the FCC to get you better service. In order to provide phone services in buildings and in heavily trafficked metropolitan areas, carriers need to provide service on low-band frequency spectrum. And in order for T-Mobile to acquire more low-band spectrum, it's fighting the FCC to change a few things. They're looking to change some of the auction rules. One thing they've asked is that the FCC increase the size of the bandwidth reserve so that no matter how much spectrum is up for sale, at least 50% of it will be held in reserve for competitors with little or no low-band spectrum in that market. And they also have asked the FCC to reconsider a two minimum sales price for the license and then some variables. So, but T-Mobile was doing their best to try to compete here against two very, very big carriers, Verizon and AT&T. Now, Sprint has undercut AT&T and Verizon with a $20 one gigabit family data plan. So this is a pretty cool. Sprint on Wednesday, again, introduced a low-end family data plan that includes 1 gig of data for $20 a month, undercutting the top carrier AT&T and Verizon. For $20, Verizon offers 500 megs of data, while AT&T offers 300 meg. Previously, Sprint's option only included 600 meg. The new plan is starting available today. So that space continues to be a tit-for-tat type of battle back and forth. All right, have you ever used Travelocity to book airline or hotel tickets? Well, if you create an account over there, they're going to give you a better discount on your booking price. And if you're an iOS user, apparently you get some additional savings as well. Travelocity apparently saves the best deals for iOS shoppers. Now, I'm sure that's going to make you guys on have Androids mad, but this is kind of an interesting article, because if it's true, sounds to me like there could be some fairness doctrines in here. But if you have an account, again, if you have a user account on Travelocity, the prices are going to be cheaper on stuff they quote you. It could be $12 to $15 higher for those of you that don't have an account. I guess that's why I just go directly to United or Hilton or Marriott or whoever I'm booking with to book my stuff. Facebook has a new anonymous room. It's called Rooms. These are a chat app that basically don't have your profiles tied to them. They're anonymous. So I don't know if any of you have used this, but some people say it feels like the old school days of being like on Merck and something like that. Not that I know some of you are still using IRC, but I haven't played with it yet. Love to hear your feedback if you have. This is a little bit weird. Adobe has tweaked its digital editions for desktop ebook reader. Now, I'm going to just tell you, if you're using this, run. Because prior to this latest update, they'd been sending data back to its headquarters. Now, what's going on now is the ebook reader now encrypts the data it secretly sends back to headquarters, data that entails a user's reading habits. Previous information on every single thing accessed by digital edition store was phoned home unencrypted, allowing anyone eavesdropping on a network to intercept it. Now that information is transmitted via HTTPS and only if the book includes a copy protection measure. But with version 4.01, that information is encrypted, and it's limited to books with DRM. And but they're definitely sending stuff back to mama. Now, why? It's a good question. I would probably pick a different ebook reader if I had the opportunity to do so. At the same time, Hidden Beacons, we've talked about these already a little bit in New York City, but Hidden Beacons have been also installed in Los Angeles and Chicago. You know, these devices are being used to identify, devices identical to those implanted in New York City. Phone booths, again, have been installed in spaces in Los Angeles and Chicago. The Bluetooth device known as a beacon, again, were installed in bus benches in Los Angeles and train stations in Chicago. The beacons are manufactured by a company called Gimbal. It's a San Diego company that made the 500 beacons that were removed from New York City earlier this month. Now, taken together with what everything else we know, no one's commenting on how these got where they got. Now, what these are being used for is to pitch display advertising. Somehow they're tracking people with these devices. And so it includes a unique identifier, its location and time of day, and that goes back to the Gimbal servers. And apparently they're using these to figure out what type of display advertising they have in that neighborhood or in that area that when it detects your phone will be able to serve up something to you that they feel is appropriate. There's going to be a bigger story on this as we move forward. Hey, NVIDIA, you know, I don't really follow the whole high-end graphic card dilemma very much. But NVIDIA is bringing its dynamic super resolution to older graphic cards, letting users enjoy 4K-like smoothness on 1080p displays. Now, they're bringing what's called dynamic super resolution, or DSR. It's one of the main features of NVIDIA's latest GeForce GTX 980 and GTX 970 processors based on the company's Maxwell architecture. So a new driver update brings the same features to Fermi and Kepler-based GeForce GTX 500, 600, and 700 series cards. So this is good for those of you that have that particular card. You can get it upgraded. I heard these 980s pretty doggone expensive and at the same time pretty amazing graphic cards. I just haven't got anything that fancy around here for sure to be able to even display it. Hey, Groupon is trying to turn itself into Yelp. Apparently, they got local business pages now. And I kind of had lost track of what Groupon was doing. But Groupon is beginning to roll out millions of individual pages for local businesses, giving them a place to display images, business hours, a phone number, a menu, and various other pieces of information, I'm sure for a fee. Visitors, these businesses will also be able to leave comments about them. And this was being tested, I guess, in New York, San Francisco, Chicago, and Seattle. And again, it's going to be launching with 7 million total listings. I'm curious to how much people pay to have their businesses listed on Groupon and so forth. Austin, if you've been in Austin recently, Austin Airport is using cell phones to track basically how many people are standing in the security line. So if you get into a TSA security line at Austin Bergstrom International Airport, you'll see monitors telling you how long the wait will be. And if you have a phone with Wi-Fi enabled, you're helping the airport come up with that number. This is a system that was implemented by Cisco. It tracks the MAC address of the phone searching for Wi-Fi networks and see how long it takes those phones to traverse the line, giving a sense of how quickly things are moving. Makes you just wonder what else they're collecting at the same time. If you're looking to get a 5K iMac, the supply has tightened. Shipping times lengthened for a second time since Apple launched their $24.99 iMac last week. So Apple's 5K Retina iMac continues to slip in ship times, I guess 5 to 7 days as of today, which really isn't too bad considering you're buying a pretty incredible machine. Now, if you are on probation, if you've had a run-in with the law, or if you had in the past, you may have had to report to your probation officer on a weekly basis. And this is no different today than it has been for many, many years, that oftentimes folks that are released on probation are restricted from doing a number of things, including smoking weed or drinking alcohol. Well, a young gentleman by the name of Alvin Cross Jr. of Albany, Georgia, seemed to have got his wires crossed, or more accurately, his fingers, when he reportedly texted who he thought was his drug dealer the following things. You have some weed? the parole officer may not have been the one he probably should have sent that to, but the parole officer sent the authorities to his home, and oh my goodness, lo and behold, some cocaine was found. So this guy is back in the pokey, and he's violated his probation. He's given 1 year in jail and another year for, again, violating his probation. So better check who you're sending those texts to, because you never know who you're going to send the wrong one to. I've sent wrong texts to people before. And luckily, it has never been anything embarrassing. But imagine, I'm sure many of you have had that instance. Hey, there's a new commercial out for Apple Pay. And something I think that's interesting here is when we, I think I told you about this, when we were in California, we went to a Galaxy game, a soccer game. My wife, son, and daughter had just gotten Samsung Galaxy S5s. And, whoops, messing with the mic here. They had these kiosks where you could put the phone up again, and it would read the NFC chip, and you basically would get some sort of a prize. And we got basically up in their booth, the Galaxy booth, their suite at the stadium. So what they're doing with the new Apple Pay at the World Series is the same thing. They got kiosks set up, and they go up and have their phone scanned, and people are winning all kinds of cool stuff. They're getting into the penthouses and so forth. So anyway, pretty cool video. I can't play it here on the show or get busted for copyright violation, but link will be up in the show notes for you guys to watch. And if any of you are taking a new iPhone out and you're going to a big sporting event like that, look for those types of deals, because those where they're always have cool perks that you'll be able to score on. Well, there was a big article released on Ars Technica talking about a huge tsunami in Hawaii's past warns of future risk, and talks about some sediment that was found over in Kauai. And basically, it's determined that at some point in like the past 500 or 600 years, Hawaii was hit with like a 50-foot tsunami. And that's a pretty big one. If you think about, the largest one that we've seen since like the 50s was like 3 feet or something to that effect. But wow, that's huge. Anyway, they're warning it could happen again. There's a, those of you that are watch the skies, the sun on October 23rd is seen by NASA Solar Dynamic Observatory has a flare spot. Basically, it's a sunspot cluster is pointing right at us. And so we'll have to keep an eye on this. If this thing goes zoom, we may be in for something bad happening to our satellites and northern lights and everything else that goes on when we get one of these solar flares pointed right at us, and astronauts having to go and get into safe rooms and so forth. All right, Comcast has won more internet customers, and they say their ad sales are up. Of course, Comcast is in the midst of a very contentious $45 billion takeover of Time Warner. So this cable provider, the nation's largest prior to the conversion, added a net 315,000 high-speed internet customers since the last quarter, bringing the number to 21.6 million. That's a 6% more than it added in the same quarter a year ago. It lost 81,000 video subscribers, ending with 22.4 million. But that's the lowest third quarter decline in 7 years. In the prior year, the quarter, the company lost 127,000 subscribers. Comcast said the loss was due to tough competition. So the average customer bill edged up 4% to $137.24, and after a 2% price hike at the beginning of the year, customers added more services and business clients rose, revenues rose. Cable hookup revenue was up 5% to $11.04 billion and nearly matched $11.09 billion expected. So Comcast, as much as people complain about them, are adding new customers. Now, I'm not a gamer. And I'm going to segue into something here, and I want to ask those of you that are gamers to get me up to speed on this Gamergate. I know that it has something to do with women being scared to death about all these people that are doing all kinds of weird things, including outing where they live. I guess it's called doxing. And just all kinds of nastiness going on. So anyone want to school me here? I'd love to have someone email me, and if you're a gamer and you know about Gamergate and you've been following, give me like the crib notes on this. The half a page. This is what's going on, because I really am way behind the power curve on Gamergate. And I've seen it 3-4 times. I've skipped articles, haven't read about it, and I probably should have. But love to hear from some of you that are gamers to tell me what's going on with this Gamergate. All right, Google has introduced something called Inbox. Now, Gmail has Inbox, but Google has introduced something called Inbox. Now, I'm hoping to have, I was to send an email to the Google press people this morning, and hopefully I'll have a test account tomorrow. But basically, this is a new way to organize your inbox. And it's built without any reliance on the company's longstanding and popular Gmail service. But Google's trying to help us on the volume of email we're receiving and prioritize them from top to bottom. I don't know. That seems pretty hard to do. They can hardly keep spam out of my inbox, let alone give me a priority, a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or even just in the stack of telling me which emails are more important. But this is what they're trying to do, and they're trying to help folks with the flood of messages that we're all dealing with on a daily basis. There's some cool iOS 8 tricks that are cool, but I don't know if you want to implement. There's a trick that lets you share your location with friends at all times. So basically, it's basically like Find My Phone, but if you're traipsing around the city or in a car driving somewhere, your friends and people that you authorize, they'll basically know your location and or find your location at a moment's notice. So I don't know about this. I don't know if I want to implement this or not. I guess when I'm on travel and my wife is worried about me, maybe that is a good time to make that available to her. But it's still a little weird that they're doing this. All right, Stanford has created a tiny, high-speed, ultrasound-powered brain implant. So they basically are having trouble with implants going into the brain because there's a limited amount of space between our ears to store storage cells. So what they've done is they've come up with a implant that can be charged by ultrasound. And they're finding it to be pretty effective and hope to be able to do some test do some clinical test soon. But it's very, very cool. 4 millimeters by 7.8 millimeters is the size of the device itself, with about a 2.5 millimeter by 2.5 millimeter square that would be used for hookups and so forth. But very interesting stuff. Brain implants powered by ultrasound. Very, very cool. Amazon lost a boatload of money this last quarter. Holy cow. They posted a $437 million loss, or 95 cents per share, and revenue of $20.58 billion. Now you think about that. Think about how much money that Apple just was able to stash away. And then you've got Amazon, who is, losing cash by just the bucket load. But they had to do write off a bunch of those phones that they have that probably aren't selling real well, which was $170 million write off. But they're saying they may lose more money over the Christmas holidays. How long can this bleeding continue? But stock investors didn't hit them too bad. I think they only hit them for like 9% on the stock. All right, getting down here. Pandora quarter three profit climbed despite slower listener growth. So that's good. They earned some money. And their stock dipped a little bit. Of course, it's been sliding for a while. But they actually showed, in the last three-month period, Pandora posted a loss of $2 million or a penny share compared with a wider loss of $4.1 million, 2 cents a share a year earlier. I thought they were earning money. The profits climb, but they still showed a loss. So I guess when you're going from $4 million loss to $2 million loss, you are having more profits. But that's kind of a backwards butt way of saying it, but that is the case. All right, Microsoft in the first quarter of 2015, basically they had $23.2 billion in revenue. What was their profit? $5.84 billion was their profit on $23.2 billion in gross revenue. So Microsoft did okay this last quarter. All right, Apple Pay's next move is phone-to-phone payments. So you'll be able to send something to your friend and tap the phone or share the phone. You can send cash one way or the other. That's probably coming next. Also, Netflix has announced three new shows that cord cutters will love. So basically, they're going to be introducing F is for Family, Bloodline, and Between. So one's a mystery. What's the other one? One's a kind of a dark secret type series, and the other one is looks like something. Yeah, comedy. The F is for Family. So Anyway, those are coming for those of you that have cut the cord and rely on Netflix. How many of you have seen these Luminosity commercials on TV? You play with the things, you're supposed to improve your brain function. Well, some people are calling BS. And there's a lot of discussion about it. Not a lot of scientific proof, but the users that are in it are snapping away and not very happy with the way the service is. I'm getting way punchy here at the end. And I think that we dropped that one. And what's last? Finally, a drone that fits in your pocket that will fly for 2 hours. Really? Is it really fit in your pocket? There's some videos on it. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. If you want some, it's a drone that you can, AKA, carry around in your pocket. All right, let me get the email opened up here. Where are we at on time? Actually, not bad. And because I'm starting so late here, folks, I am apologizing because the longer the show and the later the show goes, the, I guess for better words, the less coherent I am. Okay, so let me look at the email. Don't know how much I had come in. Today's the 23rd. Last show was on the 20th. Oh, okay. I got an email here from... Let's do this one first. Got an email from Ryan. He says, hey, Todd, just listen to 987. I'd buy a router you can flash with a custom open source Linux firmware. I've been using a firmware called Tomato for years. There are a number of forks that you can try. DD-WRT is another active open source firmware. They give you all kinds of power over your network for very cheap, no super complex. Once you flash your router, great for time restrictions, website blocking, open DNS integration. And it's got a link here to some routers that can be flashed. And then I got an email from Jack about drones and human pilots. And again, I'm going to go on the record and say that I'm not a big fan of drones. Specifically, you know, maybe it's just because of the background I was in when I was in the Navy. It's very unlikely that any adversary is going to randomly shoot down an aircraft that has people in it unless they're really serious about it. Whereas a drone can be shot down relatively easy, depending on what it's doing, with no real consequence. At least that's my thesis here. But Jack says, hey, Todd, your question about drones replacing pilots on military missions, the short answer is she's right. Over the past 6 years, our current commander-in-chief has used drones to accomplish well over 90% of the reconnaissance and bombing missions for all branches of the U.S. military. The Air Force has been pushing to remove the pilot from mission workload since the Korean War. The F-4 Phantom was initially designed without guns, since they believed all air-to-air fighting would be done from a distance with rockets fired from the aircraft, but technology had not caught up with the real world at the time. When I was flying fighters in the 70s, the button to release bombs or rockets was actually called the consent button. In other words, once I locked up a target, I held the trigger down until the onboard system decided the best point in time to release the weapons. The only trigger that was tied directly to a weapon was the guns. Now all that can and is being done remotely. The military is asking, can the mission be accomplished without a pilot or air crew? Drones can ID targets further, pull more Gs, stay aloft longer than air crews, no need for crew rest, and much cheaper to replace. So more frequently, the answer to that question is yes. Like my fighter days, air crews are decision makers and final authority to execute deadly force. As the ability to provide that final authority moves further from the battlefield, drones will help be the tip of the spear in the air. There are many missions that require air crews, decision makers, on scene during a mission, but they're getting scarce. Don't get me wrong, I love flying and sad to see pilots being removed from the cockpit, but a lot of missions are being accomplished without air crews. Sadly, it doesn't seem to be the future of military aviation, your friend Jack. And, you know, another thing, too, on that, Jack, is, you know, these drones. my understanding of the CONOP is that you've got a guy locally, or maybe just one guy that's doing all the takeoff and landings. He does the takeoff, gets it to a, you know, certain altitude, certain cardinal heading, and he hands it off to the next operator. So that guy that just took off, took a, you know, had a drone take off, it takes access to another drone and lands it. And so, you know, one guy can really do the landing and takeoff job of many pilots, whereas then the drone can get in the air, it can be pre-programmed to go to a mission location, then maybe the sensor operator comes on and does his thing. So it, I guess from that standpoint, this is where they're going to be able to get more bang for the buck. And it's basically downsizing. So what you're going to end up having is you're going to have, just like any other business, one guy or two guys or ladies even, doing a lot more work. So instead of getting two landings, you know, to take off and a landing in a day, which would be kind of typical for a long range pilot, or maybe you get two or three landings and takeoffs if you're a jet jockey, you're going to get maybe 20 landings and takeoffs a day. So imagine those logbooks and dealing with all that stuff. But anyway, kind of cool. Thanks, Jack, for sending your comment in here. And still, I'll be the first to admit, I am still a little bit old school, thinking man in the loop is really having a set of eyeballs, whether it be in the cockpit or the back of the aircraft, is really important, especially from a coordination execution standpoint. Okay, that's going to bring me to the end of the show tonight, folks. Thanks for hanging. Going to have David Jackson from School of Podcasting on the new media show this coming Saturday. We're going to talk about his role as the podcast director for New Media Expo. So Rob and I will be talking to him. If you thought the show was good tonight and I wasn't too punchy and I got some good information for you, consider becoming part of our GNC1000 at geekniscentral.com/insider. Supporting the show by contributing $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 a month. Or a one-time donation is great as well. Your dollars, everything that comes into the show goes into building the show and building and doing what we're doing here. And it is greatly appreciated, and your dollars go a long way. It really does. It's you get 100% utilization of your dollars here. There's nothing that is administrative overhead. You're supporting me. Hey, everyone, thanks so much. And geeknews@gmail.com is the email address, and @geeknews is the Twitter account. Until next time, we'll see you here. If you don't come to the new media show, see you back here Monday. Everyone, take care and aloha.